Chapter 15, Louisiana from 1972 to the present, the Edwards era and beyond. In 1682, King Louis XIV of France officially moved his royal court and the government of France from Paris to his palace complex at Versailles. In the same year, the explorer René Robert Cavalier, Sieur de La Salle, claimed and named Louisiana for his king. 302 years later, Louisiana Governor Edwin Edwards traveled to France to celebrate his third election to the state's highest office. More than 600 supporters, fellow politicians, and reporters joined the governor on an 8-day trip, which included a visit to Versailles and a formal dinner in the palace's Grand Hall of Mirrors. Edwards, who was well known for his sense of humor, joked during the dinner that if he could get the legislature to approve the funds, he would build a palace just like the one at Versailles back home in Louisiana. Although he was not serious, in occupying the Louisiana governor's mansion, Edwards had already come a long way from his upbringing in a sharecropper's cabin in rural Avoyelles Parish. Born in 1927, Edwards grew up speaking both French and English. His small community of Johnson, about 8 miles from Marksville, included many people descended from the first Acadians to arrive in Louisiana. Although Edwards briefly considered a career as a minister, he chose instead to attend law school at Louisiana State University. He began his law practice in Crowley in 1949 and was elected to the Crowley City Council 5 years later. In 1964, Edwards was elected to the state legislature and then to the U.S. House of Representatives, where he served until he was elected to his first term as governor in 1972. Edwards was elected as Louisiana's governor 4 times. It is an achievement no other politician has matched to date. Edwards was a much-beloved figure who had an impressive record of political accomplishments. Unfortunately, he was also believed to have engaged in practices that led to charges of corruption. Though he never admitted guilt, he was tried 3 times on federal charges and was convicted in 2001. Like Huey and Earl long before him, Edwards was the most powerful politician of his era. Following his release from prison, the former governor continued to draw large crowds of admiring supporters. Even his harshest critics will admit that no other politician had more influence on Louisiana in the late 20th century. In this chapter, you will learn about Edwards's role and legacy in Louisiana politics. We will also consider how Louisiana politics changed, how the state responded to economic and environmental challenges, and how its people worked to adjust to new realities as the state entered the 21st century. Section 1. New Voters and Political Change in the Edwards Era. As you read, look for accomplishments and controversies of Edwin Edwards's 4 terms as governor. Approval of a new state constitution in 1974 and the shrinking of state government, the rise of the Republican Party in Louisiana, terms, capital punishment, mistrial, mandate, white supremacists, Ku Klux Klan, affirmative action. By the time Governor John McKeithen's 2nd term ended, the state had begun a period of political realignment. Edwin Edwards was able to attract many of the state's newly registered African-American voters. Combining that with his appeal among Acadian voters, he won his first election to the governor's office with 57% of the vote. David Treen, the Republican challenger, lost but did manage to attract more than 40% of the votes cast. This suggested that the Republican Party was growing more popular as the state entered the 1970s. Many of these new Republican voters had originally registered as Democrats and remained so officially, despite their changed voting preferences. A new constitution. Edwin Edwards came into office pledging to reform the way the state did business. One of his highest priorities was to propose a new state constitution. Nearly everyone agreed that the Constitution of 1921 had many problems, not the least of which were the 536 amendments that had been added in its 50-year history. By the early 1970s, voters had become disgusted by the many complex amendments they were regularly asked to consider. They began to feel that the amendments generally favored narrow special interests rather than the state's people. Many voters began to vote no to all the amendments on the ballot. In 1970, for example, voters rejected all 53 amendments that were offered for their consideration. Recognizing the public's desire for reform, Edwards called for a constitutional convention. Its mix of elected and appointed delegates gathered in Baton Rouge for a convention that continued for most of 1973. When the new constitution went to the voters for approval in 1974, it passed by a large margin. Even the strongest supporters of the new constitution, including Governor Edwards, criticized some of its aspects, feeling it had too many special interest provisions. Yet even those who opposed parts of the new document had to admit that, in its brevity or briefness, it was an improvement over its 1921 predecessor. One of the key improvements of the 1974 Constitution was an introductory Bill of Rights that provided for equal protection under the law, no matter a person's race or religious ideas, beliefs, or affiliations. The Constitution also ordered that no law should unreasonably discriminate against a person because of birth, age, sex, culture, physical condition, or political ideas or affiliations. Many considered these specific protections against various forms of discrimination among the new Constitution's most important features. The 1974 Constitution also ordered the governor to reorganize and shrink the size of the government itself. By the early 1970s, state government had grown to include more than 260 departments, boards, and commissions that supervised narrow areas of governmental function. Governor Edwards began a process of reorganization that limited the state's government's departments to 20. Those changes were completed in 1978. Edwin Edwards as governor, 1972 to 1980. Edwin Edwards had other accomplishments besides the new constitution and governmental reorganization. On the economic front, he lowered taxes for individuals and did away with the state property tax entirely. To make up for those revenues, he raised taxes on corporations as well as on oil and gas. He also changed the way the state calculated its severance tax on crude oil. Previously, the severance tax had been calculated on the basis of how much oil was removed from the ground. This was known as volume-based taxation. Edwards gained approval for a 12.5% severance tax that was value-based. As oil prices rose, so would the amount of severance tax the state was able to collect. In the era when oil prices were already high and rising, this seemed like a good plan. Throughout the 1970s, the state profited greatly from this change. In fact, Edwards's first two terms were very good periods for the state economically. The popular governor used the abundant funds in the state treasury to expand social programs and improve health care, education, and transportation. With so much money coming into the treasury, Edwards could expand services without raising taxes on individuals. In his first term, the state budget exceeded $1 billion for the first time. By the time his second term ended in early 1980, the annual budget had grown to $4 billion. There is no question that Governor Edwards accomplished significant things for the state, but concerns were also emerging about the governor's personal finances and the way state business had been conducted. There was an allegation that Edwards had allowed his wife to receive a large cash gift from a Korean lobbyist while Edwards was serving in the U.S. House of Representatives. Other critics complained that the governor used his influence to help close friends and associates get state contracts under very favorable terms. At the end of his first two terms, two of his closest political associates were charged with crimes and served time in prison. No formal charges were filed against Edwards. Although the 1974 Constitution prevented him from seeking a third consecutive term, it did not prohibit him from running again in the future. The open primary. The 1979 race for governor was the first to be conducted with a newly adopted election procedure called the open primary. In the open primary, Democratic and Republican candidates ran against each other in a single primary. The top two finishers advanced to the runoff, regardless of party affiliation. Before this time, Democratic and Republican candidates held separate primaries. Then candidates from each party faced each other in a general election. Because the Democratic Party had been so powerful throughout the 20th century, the election of Democrats over Republicans in the general elections had been virtually assured. Democrats thought the open primary would work to their advantage, but they turned out to have it wrong. In the 1979 campaign, a large number of Democratic candidates faced off against a single Republican, U.S. Congressman David Treen. With the Democratic vote divided, Treen made it to the general election, where he faced Democrat Louis Lambert. four of his previous Democratic opponents endorsed Treen rather than Lambert. With Democratic support split, Treen won a very narrow victory. He was inaugurated in 1980 as the first Republican governor in Louisiana since Reconstruction. He had accomplished a similar feat in 1972 when he was elected the first Republican congressman from Louisiana since the 1870s. Treen's rise in politics illustrates how the Republican Party's strength had been growing slowly in the state since the mid-1960s. In the 1970s, Republicans appealed to a Louisiana electorate that was growing more conservative. David Treen as governor, 1980 to 1984. Governor Treen brought a more conservative approach to certain areas of state government. That included reinstating capital punishment, the legally authorized killing of someone as punishment for a crime. But he angered some supporters by continuing the high levels of spending, borrowing, and social service provision more commonly associated with Democrats. State budgets continued to rise. The state also continued to borrow large amounts of money to construct new state facilities and infrastructure. Treen had hoped to accomplish a great many things as governor. In particular, he wanted to enact a tax on the transportation of oil and gas through the state's pipelines. The proceeds from the tax would be devoted to restoring the state's shrinking marsh and threatening coastal areas. He called the proposal the Coastal Wetlands Environmental Levy, or CWEL. However, Treen was unable to get legislative approval for the plan. The return of Edwin Edwards. In 1983, Edwin Edwards ran against Treen and won a decisive but expensive victory over his opponent. After the election in late October 1983, Edwards' campaign owed more than $4 million and did not have the money on hand to repay the debt. The extravagant trip to France in early 1984, with which this chapter began, was designed not only as a celebration but also to pay off the campaign debts. With many of the 600 travelers paying $10,000 each to accompany Edwards, his campaign was able to make enough after expenses to pay off all his campaign debts. It was an example of the bon ton, or good times, philosophy with which Edwards and the state had become so closely associated. Edwin Edwards as governor, 1984 to 1988. Edwin Edwards entered his third term promising to repeat the successes and prosperity of his first two terms. However, by early 1984, oil prices had already seen a drastic decline. Those prices continued to fall over the next few years. Even though they rebounded slightly by the late 1980s, the state found itself in an economic crisis. Governor Edwards had to seek new ways to balance the state budget. He even raised taxes on individuals. He also had to shrink the size of state government, which led to massive layoffs of state employees. Those layoffs, combined with the many private sector jobs that were lost due to the oil crisis, created a severe economic downturn. Louisiana had higher levels of unemployment than any other state during Edwards' third term. Many people left the state for good in these years, seeking better opportunities elsewhere. During this time, federal charges were brought against Edwards and several of his associates. The sitting governor was charged with using his influence to award state contracts to his friends and to enrich himself in the process. Edwards sat through two trials in 1985 and 1986. The first one ended in a mistrial, a trial that is not valid because of an error or because the jury cannot decide a verdict. In the second trial, he was found not guilty. Despite the verdict, his image was badly damaged and he lost popular support. If Louisianians had been willing to tolerate corruption in good economic times, they were apparently less willing to do so when economic times were hard. The Romer Revolution. Charles Buddy Romer was born in Bossier City in 1943. His father, Charles Romer Sr., had served as Commissioner of Administration under Edwards and was one of the officials who had gone to prison after Edwards' first two terms. Romer portrayed himself as a reformer who would slay the dragon of corruption that Edwards represented. In the open primary in late 1987, Romer scored a surprising victory over Edwards, who came in second. Romer finished with 33% of the vote, compared to the 27% won by Edwards. If things had gone as they normally would, Romer and Edwards would have entered the general election against each other. However, The day following the primary, Edwards conceded, gave up, forfeited the race, to Romer and declined to challenge him in the general election. Romer became governor without a general election victory, but he entered office facing several serious problems. Solving them would require support from both the legislature and the voters. Because there was no general election, Romer did not have the opportunity to gain a majority of the vote. As a result, he could never claim to have entered the governor's office with a firm mandate from the state's people for the many changes he wanted to make. A mandate is authorization or approval given to an elected official by the voters. As he entered office in early 1988, Romer wanted to lower taxes on businesses and raise them on individuals. He and others believed that this change would encourage businesses to come to Louisiana and provide better jobs. The governor got a package of taxation reforms through the legislature, but the state's voters overwhelmingly rejected them. When his taxation reforms failed, Romer had to try a different approach. Ultimately, he was persuaded to support the return of legalized gambling to Louisiana. During his single term as governor, Louisiana regained a state lottery and also legalized video poker and gambling on riverboats. Although his first term could hardly have been considered a success, Romer ran for a second term in 1991. He even changed from the Democratic to the Republican Party, hoping the growing numbers of voters with Republican views would support him. Despite his party change, when the primary took place in October 1991, Romer came in third place. He finished behind Edwin Edwards and a former state legislator named David Duke. The 1991 election. The two men who faced each other in the 1991 runoff were both controversial. Although Edwards had never been convicted of a crime, most people accepted that there was some corruption surrounding the governor. Edwards himself added fuel to such charges when he made statements insisting that there was a big difference between what's illegal and what causes you people to raise your eyebrows. David Duke also had issues to confront. Born in 1950, Duke had been a vocal white supremacist since his mid-teens. A white supremacist is a person who believes that the white race is better than all other races and should control all other races. While attending Louisiana State University, he also adopted prejudicial views against other non-white people he referred to as mongrel races and against Jews. Duke believed whites had been the losers in the civil rights movement. In the 1970s, he became a national leader in the Knights of the Ku Klux Klan, a secret white supremacist organization. In the early 1980s, he founded an organization called the National Association for the Advancement of White People. Duke ran for state office several times in the 1980s, first as a Democrat and later as a Republican. He finally won election to the State House of Representatives in 1989. The next year, he ran for the U.S. Senate from Louisiana. Although he lost, he won 43.5% of the vote. Based on those encouraging results, Duke decided to enter the governor's race in 1991. In the October primary, Duke came in a close second to Edwin Edwards. The month between the October primary and the November general election was an unforgettable one in state politics. People from all over the country were interested in the race. In the end, however, the state's voters would decide the outcome. After the primary, citizens who were not registered to vote flooded Registrar of Voters' offices to get on the voting rolls in time to take part in the general election. Alarmed that Duke might actually become governor, more than 68,000 people registered in the days immediately following the primary. More than half of them were African American. Some voters felt that Duke was still propagating, making known to many people, racist beliefs. They refused to vote for him on that basis. Others believed Duke when he said that he had let go of his white supremacist past and had come to embrace more mainstream Republican ideas like welfare reform in opposition to affirmative action. Affirmative action is the practice of improving the educational and job opportunities for members of groups that have been discriminated against in the past. Yet even some Republicans worried that the election of a former Ku Klux Klan leader to the state's highest office would ruin the state's reputation. Former Governor David Treen reflected this sentiment when he endorsed Edwards over Duke. Many business people also supported Edwards, fearing they would not be able to attract workers to the state if Duke were elected. On November 16, 1991, voters went to the polls in large numbers. Almost 79% of those registered actually voted. This was a very high figure since, even in presidential elections, typically only about half of all voters participated. Edwards scored a decisive victory over Duke, winning 61% of the vote as compared to Duke's 39%. In the process, he had won an unprecedented, never done before, fourth term as Louisiana's governor. Governor Edwards's fourth term. In his final term as governor, Edwards faced the lingering economic problems brought on by the oil crisis of the late 1980s. However, the state's widespread poverty also meant that the federal health care program for the poor, called Medicaid, gave the state a larger share of benefits because its population of poor people was so high. This was called a disproportionate share of Medicaid funds. Unfortunately, instead of benefiting many of the people these funds were supposed to help, much of this money went to businesses and providers of very specialized health services. Many politically connected individuals received these funds and took large fees for their services. Many business people who were close to the governor made fortunes from their healthcare-related businesses. Gambling also presented opportunities for corrupt activity. Gaming in the form of land-based casinos became legal during Edwards's final term. Edwards pushed hard and won approval in 1992 for the construction of a land-based casino to be built in New Orleans. In the years that followed, federal investigators charged that Edwards had accepted cash payments from people and companies who believed he would help them secure the contracts to build casinos in New Orleans, Shreveport, and Lake Charles. The end of an era. Edwards left office for the last time in 1996. 5 years later, he was tried on 26 federal charges related to accusations of using his office and influence improperly to help friends, associates, and those who paid him bribes to gain state contracts and casino licenses. This time, Edwards was convicted on 17 of those counts. He was sentenced to 10 years in prison and served 8 years before being released in 2011 at the age of 83. In the end, his legacy was a mixed one, both for himself and for the people of Louisiana. Edwards had risen from a childhood of poverty to become a much-beloved governor who did many good things for the people of the state. Despite his conviction for corruption, Edwards was still drawing large audiences of admirers in the years immediately after his release from prison. He also continued to proclaim his innocence and to defend his legacy as the state's most elected and, for many people, most beloved political figure of the 20th century.